Good evening.
Evening.
I'd like to begin with a narrative that I find in Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. This is one that we're likely very familiar with. We find that in Luke chapter 22 that this is just before the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And that if you remember, Peter had told the Lord, he said, "I'll go with you even to death, if that be the case." And of course, the Lord told him that, "No, you won't. Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter denied that being the case. We read in Luke chapter 22. Now begin in verse 58. It says, "And after a little while, another saw him." He saw Peter. "After a little while, another saw him and said, 'Thou art also of them.' And Peter said, 'Man, I am not.' And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, 'Of a truth, this fellow also is with him, for he is a Galilean.' And Peter said, 'Man, I know not what thou sayest.' And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew." And we read the last two times that he had denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And according to the word of the Lord, the cock crew. Mm-hmm. It says in verse 61, and this verse has gripped me recently. Peter said, in verse 60, Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. The topic that I'd like to discuss tonight is sorrow. And not just any type of sorrow. We experience sorrow in our lives from a multitude of causes. There are several of them discussed in Scripture. Some of them are godly and some of them are not godly. I'd like to speak specifically about a sorrow that we have when we see our sin. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Peter was experiencing some sorrow here. And it's sorrow that, if we experience it, we don't experience it many times, what Peter was feeling here. That he saw this one. Now remember, Peter grew up in Israel at this time where they're expecting to see a Messiah come and set up an earthly kingdom and rule and reign, and that we've heard it preached already today, that they've seen that Jesus has raised the dead. They've seen it with their own eyes. They believe with all their hearts that Jesus is the Messiah, the one that's promised of God to come and redeem Israel. They believe that he's going to set up an earthly kingdom, and when he has told them in the past, he's previously told them, "I will go to Jerusalem, and these things shall happen, and I will be killed." And they said, "No, it's not going to be so." I'm paraphrasing. But he said, "No, that's not going to happen." They couldn't understand. And they saw this one that all of their hopes had been clinging on. All of their hopes were on Jesus. And they saw him led out into the most unfair trial that I've ever read about, where they know that the outcome of this is going to be the crucifixion of the Lord. And not only that, but according to the word of the Lord, Peter was not strong enough to even say that, "I know the man." But he denied him three times. And the Lord Jesus was not naive to what Peter had done, but he turned and looked upon Peter. You know, Peter was feeling some sorrow. And I think when I read this about what's recorded for us, I believe in Hebrews chapter 4, we're speaking of Jesus, our great high priest. And it says that he is able to see all things. He knows all things. And so when we commit sin, it's not hidden from the Lord. And when we think about it in those terms, it's convicting. It makes me sorrowful. It makes me very sorrowful. I'd like to look at some scripture that's recorded for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and the Apostle Paul is writing his second epistle to the Corinthians. Now, you remember in the first epistle to the Corinthian church had a bunch of errors. They had a lot of things they were not doing right, and the Apostle Paul had to correct them, and in some ways he did it very bluntly. He spent that letter correcting them. In this 2 Corinthians chapter 7, he's going to address what he did in that epistle. I'll start in verse 8. He says, "For though I made you sorry with a letter," he made them sorry. He says, "I do not repent, though I did repent. For I perceive that the same epistle," that is 1 Corinthians, "for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, the selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you." That's concern. Concern for the cause. "What carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what clearing of yourselves. Yea, what indignation. Yea, what fear. Yea, what vehement desire. Yea, what zeal. Yea, what revenge. In all these things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter." Paul says, "I wrote you a letter. And in that letter, I didn't say, 'Good job, keep going.' I corrected you. And you didn't receive it. Yea, gee, thanks, I'm glad." Nobody wants to hear that we're doing something wrong. Nobody wants to hear that correction when we first hear it. But Paul says, "I don't repent that I sent you the letter. I don't repent that I made you sorry. I'm not upset that you felt sorrow. I don't believe that Jesus was upset that Peter felt sorrow." He says, "I don't repent that I sent it, because sending it, that sorrow, worked repentance in you." You know, the church is here with one of the primary purposes of the Lord's church being to convert sinners from the error of their ways. You know, we read right as Jesus started his ministry, recorded for us, if I remember correctly, it's in Matthew chapter 4. He says he went around preaching, and the way that they summed up what he was preaching is he preached that the kingdom of repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. And you remember when the Pharisees came to John to be baptized, what John would not allow them to be baptized for. Now remember, these are what they would consider themselves as the spiritually elite of the day. They thought they had the law. They thought that they kept the law. They thought that they were doing all things according to the instruction of the Lord. They could find no fault in themselves. And they came to John to be baptized of John, and John would not baptize them because they did not have fruits meet for repentance. They didn't show forth fruits meet for repentance. Now, when have you ever read in the Bible about a Pharisee that felt sorrow for sins that he had done? You know, we think about when those two men went up, one being the Pharisee and one being the publican, and the Pharisee went up and he prayed to God, "I'm thankful that you've allowed me to be so much better than this publican, than this sinner." And he finished his prayer that way. And the publican went up and said, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." The publican felt sorrow. That's fruits meet for repentance. He wanted to repent. He wanted to turn to the Lord. You know, that Pharisee didn't have any motivation to repent. He didn't feel sorrow. And so we've heard preached today about physical pain earlier in the in the order of services. We heard physical pain will teach you some lessons. If you touch a hot stove, and my wife was laughing at me because we were just talking on the way. When you have a couple hour car ride, you have time to talk about things. We were talking about when I was much younger. I say that so that you don't think I'm lacking this much common sense now. When I was much younger, much younger, there was a hot stove and I put my finger on it. And it honestly didn't hurt until I took the finger off the stove. And then it hurt. Well, I did the only thing that made logical sense. It didn't hurt when it was on the stove, so I put it back. Well, I took it off again and it hurt even worse. So once again, I did the only logical thing and I put it back. When I took it off the third time, I cried out. My parents came and got me and told me that stoves hurt. They didn't have to tell me that. I already knew. You know, sin hurts. But I don't have to tell you that. I hope that you felt sorry for some of the things that you've done. You know, there's a biblical pattern of that. Peter felt sorrow. You read about Paul speaking of himself as the chief of sinners. You can read all these things. Or what about Psalm 51, where David expresses the lamentations he had for his sins with Bathsheba? David, it says, had a heart like to the Lord's. But he felt an immense amount of sorrow for that sin, even so much that he said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." And so we experience this sorrow. Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. It's that pain that said, I used to work at a job that we worked around, I don't know what it is with me and hot things, but we worked around these metal probes that we would put into power plants. And power plants are 600 to 900 degrees. So when you'd pull the metal probe out, it was 600 to 900 degrees. And every now and then somebody would accidentally bump one. And the safety manager had a saying that he liked to say whenever somebody would bump it, and of course they'd say ouch, or maybe something a little bit uglier, depending on who it was, and they'd jump away, and the safety manager would say, "That hurts, don't do it." That's what sorrow is. That hurts, don't do it. I think about what John Newton wrote, the same man that wrote Amazing Grace. He wrote another hymn that's in the book. "'Tis a point I long to know. Oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not?" You know, John Newton felt a sorrow for that sin that he had done. He saw himself in need of a Savior. He wanted to follow the Lord, to be the disciple of God, of Jesus. And he wrote those words. And I do have good news for you. You know, we're told that every son that the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. When John Newton wrote those words, "Am I his or am I not?" I can give him a solid answer for that one. And I can base it in Scripture that he would not feel sorrow for the things that he had done if he was not one of the Lord's. The only way that a human being can feel sorrow is if they're born again by the power of God. They have that new nature within them that is capable of sorrow, and it leads them to repentance. You know, I said there's many types of sorrow. There's sorrow when we lose a loved one that the Apostle Paul addresses. He says he wants us to sorrow not as others that have no hope. Not that we wouldn't mourn, but that we wouldn't sorrow as those that have no hope, because we do have hope. And there's other sorrows where we may be concerned and not know whether the Lord will provide. That's an ungodly sorrow there. But a sorrow for sins that we've committed is a blessing and something to thank the Lord for and something to use as motivation. And I'd like to read that verse 11 in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 one more time and read what this sorrow worked in those brethren at the Corinthian church. It said, "For behold, this selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter." My prayer is that our sorrow for our sins would motivate us to repent the same way that these Corinthian brethren did, that these things that they found in themselves as the result of that sorrow would so be found in us, in myself and you here at Flint River, and those that would be the disciples of the Lord. I thank you for your good attention.